Hello, and welcome to the very first Sparks Club podcast, your new favorite place for information about the Los Angeles Sparks and everything else about the WNBA. I will be your host on this podcast. My name is Phil Sizemore. This show is, as I said, going to be built around the Sparks, but it's going to have a lot of tendrils, hopefully elsewhere in the WNBA. It's a small league, 12 teams. It's a very tight-knit league, so everything that happens sort of affects things everywhere else. And we'll be getting into some of those topics from time to time. I'm looking to make this a weekly show to start. I may go more or less frequent as subject matter demands, but I want this to be a weekly show for fans to come to and refresh themselves, listen, ask questions. Questions from any listeners are absolutely encouraged. We're kind of getting this thing off the ground together, me and anyone who's listening to it. And so I want the feedback. I want to know what you want to know. I want to know what you want me to be talking about. And I want to know what you think about what I'm talking about. So by all means, please engage, ask questions, and we'll make this project a success. All right, we're going to start out this episode by just getting up to speed with the team. It's been a weird couple of years, to say the least, both for the team and for the world at large since Derek Fisher became coach. His first year, 2019, team finished third in the league, 22-12, was their final record, but they suffered in the playoffs a humiliating three-game sweep to Connecticut, mostly blowouts. After the second game, the performance of the team was so poor that then-general manager and WNBA legend Penny Toller made her way to the locker room and had some words with the players that the players did not appreciate. Shortly after that loss, Penny Toller was relieved of her duties as general manager of the Sparks, in part because of that outburst, and there was some hard feeling between the organization, some of the players, and Coach Fisher after that first season. There were a lot of questions coming into 2020 about the state of the team and whether they would have the togetherness and then the camaraderie that championship-tier teams have to have. They also took a couple of blows because both Chinnae Igwumike and recently returning point guard Christy Tolliver announced that they would not be competing in the 2020 season because of concerns about the COVID-19 and the WNBA bubble protocols. So right away, not only was the team coming off of a very, very difficult playoff series loss in 2019, but they also are missing two key pieces for the team going forward. They started out, unsurprisingly, in 2020 very unevenly, started out at 3-3, had some bad losses, but then things kind of started to click. Chelsea Gray really found her stride. Candace Parker was in the midst of what we now know as a Defensive Player of the Year season last year. And the team reeled off 9 straight, shooting to the top of the standings up there with Seattle, up there with Las Vegas, until finishing again on kind of a sputtering note on another 3-3 stretch going into the playoffs that left a lot of fans concerned. Because not only did it put LA into a position where they were in a single elimination game for their first game in the playoffs, but they weren't carrying a lot of momentum into that game. And those concerns proved to be justified. Nneka Igwumike couldn't even play in that game because of a severe migraine. And once again, the Connecticut Sun embarrassed the Sparks out of the playoffs by jumping on them in the first quarter and taking control of the game. So the mood with the team coming into this past offseason was kind of down, and it got downer really fast because two very key departures in free agency. First, Candace Parker, up there with Lisa Leslie, is the greatest person to play for this team, the greatest player to play for this team. She's an all-time great, two-time MVP, Defensive Player of the Year last year in her 13th season, which is absolutely ridiculous. Such a smart player. And there's no replacing her. It's really terrible to lose her. Last year, while getting a Defensive Player of the Year, she also added 17 points, 8.6 rebounds, 3.9 assists on reasonably efficient shooting. There is a void left by Candace Parker, no doubt about it. And also Chelsea Gray. Shortly after Candace left, Chelsea Gray announced that she was leaving for the Las Vegas Aces, where she will excel, I am sure. She is exactly what the Aces need, and she makes them a formidable team. But losing a scoring point guard with distribution ability and the physicality and energy of a Chelsea Gray, it was a big blow as well. To wrap up the off-season weirdness, after a year of kind of limbo with the general manager position, it was announced that Derek Fisher would not only be the coach of the Sparks, but he would be taking over the general managerial duties as well. And he was extended in his tenure as coach at the same time. It is clear this move is just, the Sparks are going all in on Derek Fisher. They think that he's the guy to lead them in the next few years. Will it work to go all in on Derek Fisher is a different question. He's had some conflicts with players in the past, particularly with Parker and Nneka Nwumike, about his ability to take their suggestions and incorporate what they want to do as well as what he wants to do into the scheme. And that's a question that, especially if you want to coach superstars, that's something that has to be addressed. And there's also the question of playoff games. His ability to make the necessary adjustments and inspire the necessary effort to win playoff games remains in doubt. So we will need to see some pretty significant results from Derek Fisher for this big of a move all in on him to be ultimately worth it. Okay, we're going to stop here for our first break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the current roster. We're going to get a little bit in depth and figure out what we know about what this team's going to look like and what we don't know. So stay tuned. Okay, we are back here. We're talking about the current LA Sparks roster after the turmoil of the offseason. The one clear thing that sticks out beyond any doubt about this roster is that in the absence of Chelsea Gray and Candace Parker, this team is going to run around Nneka Nwumike. And I think it's easy to forget, because she has spent so much of her career with LA playing in the shadow of Candace Parker, really how good Nneka Nwumike is. She's a league MVP in 2016. She is a monster on both ends of the court. She's got a distance shot. She's got a great finishing package. She's a switchable defensive player who can also protect the rim. The thing that's really going to be needed from her this year, more than it has in a while, is her playmaking. Because, as we said, Candace Parker isn't going to be there making plays out of the post, which is something she's always been skilled at. And in her MVP year, we know Nneka can do that. She averaged more than 3 assists per game in 2016, but that number has been coming steadily down since then, in particular as Chelsea Gray has stepped up into that playmaking role for the Sparks. So that's something that we're going to have to see Nneka reemphasize in her game. I expect her to have a really big year with as much space as she's going to have. She hasn't had this much space to be the star on this team since she got here. And I expect her to jump eagerly into that role. Two very intriguing parts of the roster down from Nneka Nwumike are the returns of Christy Tolliver, who signed with the team last year but sat out due to COVID concerns, and Chinea Nwumike, who did the same thing and has also been hosting a series of successful programs for ESPN, both on screen and radio. So I'm going to start with Chinea Nwumike, because I believe that she is really the X factor for this team coming into the season, because we know that she can play at an all-star level. She has been a two-time all-star in the WNBA, but the thing that has been an issue with her is consistency both of being on court and production. Between last year and injury, she's missed 3 out of her 7 years in the league. Her last season in 2019, which was her first with the Sparks, she averaged career lows in points per game, rebounds, and shooting percentage. The team, if it's going to compete, is going to need a little bit more from her than they got in that year. And there are some open questions about both her readiness and conditioning, given that she hasn't been playing in more than a year, and also the last time she was playing, some of that production wasn't as consistent as it had been in previous years when she was an all-star. It could really go 2 very different ways with Chinea this year. And the good way means that the Sparks are one of the top contenders for the WNBA title, and the less good way probably looks a lot more like the last couple of years have for this team. Secondly, I'd like to talk about the return of Christy Tolliver, who longtime Sparks fans will remember, was the point guard during the title run in 2016 and one of the stars of the team, along with Nneka Ogwumike and Candace Parker. She did not play last year. She had three very productive years in Washington, including another WNBA title alongside Elena Deladon. And her last year playing, which was in Washington, she averaged 13 points, 6 assists, 49.4% from the field overall, and the last two of those were career highs. Her last 2 years, she shot 36% from three, which is below her career average of around 39, but it's still more than a high enough percentage to command respect, and her reputation also commands respect around the league. She will have some three-point gravity, and that's going to help a little bit when it comes to compensating as she gets older with the loss of a step or two in terms of playmaking. She clearly lacks the physicality that Chelsea Gray brought to the game and the ability to bully people around. But she is she's crafty, she's a veteran, she's an able and willing distributor, and I think that she's going to be an essential piece in terms of moving the ball around and getting the right people activated in the game in order to keep the Sparks on track. We've also got a lot of familiar faces coming in with the supporting cast. Sid Weiss returns, coming off of a career high point per game and 3-point percentage year in 2020. She shot 47.2% from 3-point last year, just an absolute flamethrower. She's been growing into that supporting starter role with the Sparks. She did it last year, and I expect she will reprise that role this year given her performance. We'll have to see if those percentages come back down to earth a little bit, but I do think that with another year under her belt and a little bit more security in the role, we might see more consistent production from her this year than might be expected. Tiara Ruffin-Pratt is also returning, an extremely capable defender, but her offensive production has declined the last several years, and with people coming in at the wing through draft picks when she's competing for minutes with some of these newcomers and some of these up-and-comers who have been on the roster, there are question marks in my mind about whether or not she will be able to sustain her playing time unless she has a bit of an offensive renaissance this year. Christina Nigwe is one of the players that I am most intrigued by coming in this year and that I will be keeping a very close eye on because she is a good defender with room to grow offensively and a potentially very versatile skill set. I think that she could do very well in a pick-and-roll game with a guard like Christy Tolliver, who can put the ball in her spots and sort of maximize her on the offensive end a little bit. And she's energetic. She's got some nasty. In terms of just being someone who shows up and makes a couple of plays and injects the team with energy and pushes them over the finish line, I think she's got some potential. Taya Cooper and Erica Wheeler are also a couple of people to keep an eye on, and I'm putting them together because I think they're going to be competing for a very similar role, which is sort of a primary scoring option or creating option off the bench. Cooper averaged 7 points last year with the Sparks, did not wow as a distributor or a defender, but she is a capable scorer. She likes to get downhill. She's quick. And she will certainly see some run this year, but she's going to be competing for that spot, both with existing people on the roster and with some of the draftees. Erica Wheeler is someone with a chip on her shoulder. She was undrafted, and she's gone from undrafted to an all-star in 2019. And she's a potential difference maker as well as an auxiliary scorer and playmaker. But with her, there are some decision-making concerns. She has a lot of turnovers. Her shooting percentages are kind of low, especially for a volume scorer. And so she will need to sort of tighten that up in order to guarantee a major spot off the bench. I would also be remiss to not mention Simone Augustus, the great Simone Augustus. It's been a weird couple of years for her. We're not sure exactly how much she has left being toward the end of her career. Her last two seasons, she averaged 3.8 and 5.9 points per game, and that's the only two times in her career that she's averaged under 10. So she is clearly not quite the player that she used to be, but she's still a very, very capable WNBA player off the bench. She came in and gave good minutes for the team last year in a lot of situations. She's smart. She's a great mentor for some of the younger players on the team. And I think she will just be sort of that steadying veteran presence that a lot of teams need, especially as there is competition and wrestling for roles. People are in favor or people are out of favor. Simone Augustus is going to be someone who is very secure in who she is, who is able to talk to people and assuage those egos. And I think that might be, she might be a very important locker room presence for the Sparks if they're successful this year. Finally, I want to keep an eye on Maria Vidiva, who's a floor stretching big, capable defender. I like what she does. I like the energy she brings off the bench. Okay, we're going to take another quick break here, and then when we come back, we're going to finish up today by talking about the first draft that Derek Fisher has had as the general manager of the Los Angeles Sparks, and then we're going to have a look at the schedule that was recently released by the WNBA for this year, so stick around. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We're going to start talking here about the WNBA draft, which took place last Thursday. And the Sparks made a couple of moves in this draft. They were originally scheduled to take the 10th pick a couple of days before the draft. It was announced that they had made a trade to acquire the 7th pick from the Dallas Wings as well. They used that pick, the 7th pick, to draft Jasmine Walker out of Alabama, who's a very able scorer and a lights-out shooter when she's hot. And that's something that we've heard from the organization that they were going to be seeking out coming into this year, was some reliable shooting in the draft. That wasn't a surprise. And it's come out that Jasmine Walker was one of the people they had their eye on when they made the trade for that pick. She will need to acclimate herself to occupying an auxiliary role on a team that is going to be very crowded, even on the wing, which is kind of where they're thinnest. Everyone knows how difficult it is to get onto a WNBA roster. There are so few seats in this league, and so many very good players. So really, role adjustment for some of these draftees is the most important thing that they can do. At number 10, they took Stephanie Watts out of North Carolina, who is a guard with a lot of potential. I need to see some proof that she's going to be able to make the reads at the speed of the WNBA. But some of her play at North Carolina in terms of her ability to distribute the ball was very suggestive. I will look to see how she does in training camp as sort of a gauge on whether she's on that track and what kind of faith the team has in her. Perhaps most intriguing coming out of this draft class was taken at number 22 late in the second round by Derek Fisher, which is Arela Garantes. And Arela Garantes coming into the draft was a consensus top five pick. The ESPN mock had her taken at number 3. Sports Illustrated had her taken at number 4. And she ended up dropping to 22. She could well end up being the steal of the draft. Very, very good move by Derek Fisher to take her when he did, and also potentially a bold gamble to let her fall that far and to believe that she might still be there. Her last couple of years at Rutgers, she averaged 20 points per game plus and shot 38% from three. She is a good scorer. She can score at all three levels. Got a smooth three-point jumper. She has a crossover move and some step backs that she uses to make space in the mid-range, and she can knock down those shots even when they're well contested. She has a spin move that she can take to the left or the right and make space around the rim, and she's made some rapid improvement as a shooter and as a playmaker. As a sophomore at Rutgers, she shot 24% from three. She brought that up to 38% each of her last 2 years. As a sophomore, she had 1.7 assists per game. By the time she graduated, that was 5.4. So the development with her has been rapid and significant. Whether that continues as she comes into the NBA level is, of course, always a question, but she's a very intriguing player with an enormous amount of upside. And I think we're going to find out pretty fast exactly how good she is, but I'm very optimistic and very excited to see what she can do with this team. That being said, there is a reason why she fell to number 22. There are some question marks defensively and about her offensive decision-making. She had a bit of a shot selection problem that led to a poor two-point percentage in spite of her high three-point shooting. And she has a high turnover rate that has gone up along with her assist totals. So she's still figuring out as she's developing where that space is and where it isn't in real time. And it might take a little time, especially at the speed of the WNBA game, for her to make that adjustment. But that is something to watch with her throughout this season. And to close things out today, we're going to take a brief look at the schedule that the WNBA has recently released. There's an enormous break for the Olympics about two-thirds of the way through the season from July 11th to August 15th. For the Sparks, that first segment of the season is really, really front-loaded in terms of the difficulty of the competition. In those first 19 games before the break, there are three against Las Vegas, three against Chicago, two against Minnesota, two against Seattle. That's kind of brutal way to start the season, especially when you are dealing with the kind of roster turnover that has been had and the sort of competition for roles that will be going on. So it's pretty likely, in my opinion, that the season may start out kind of rough for the Sparks as these adjustments are being made, as we're figuring out who goes into what role, and it might be a bumpy ride, so fans should be prepared for that. That being said, the opposite of a front-loaded early schedule is the fact that the back end of that schedule is comparatively easy. So if things start to be figured out, if they can go into the break with a little bit of momentum, then it's possible that they could come out and storm that closing stretch of the season and put themselves in very good position for the playoffs. A couple of early matchups in that first segment of the season that I really wanted to point out to listeners. First, second game of the year, May 21st at Las Vegas. It's going to be her first game against Chelsea Gray since she came to the team. And it's going to be an early test because Las Vegas right now looks to me like the best team in the league on paper. They made it to the finals last year. They've got a great coach in Bill Laimbeer. And the only real thing that they were missing was a scoring point guard. And then they added Chelsea Gray, who fits that bill very precisely. They've still got league MVP Aja Wilson dominating the paint on both ends. They're going to be a really good team. And so I look at that game as not only a, hey, how you doing to Chelsea Gray, but also as a good measure of how good this team is at the beginning of the year. Going into a week later, May 28th at Chicago, is going to be our first time seeing Candace Parker play against the Los Angeles Sparks, which is going to be weird for everyone involved, I'm sure. And also a good chance to get a look at the combination in Chicago of Parker with Courtney Vandersloot. Chicago has been a team for the last couple of years that's been one of those one-piece-away teams, and even at this stage in her career, it's very possible that Candace Parker is just that person. So we're going to be looking at that game very closely. Thirdly, June 12th at Minnesota, it'll be the first time that Simone Augustus plays as a Spark against the Lynx, and games against Minnesota are always fun. It's been a big rivalry for most of this decade, a lot of great playoff matchups, 2 5-game final series split evenly. So every game with the Sparks against the Lynx has a lot of energy, and it being Simone's homecoming is going to add a little spice to that already pretty spicy mixture. And then finally, toward the very end of that first segment before the break, July 4th and 7th, Sparks are going to have a home-and-home set against the defending WNBA champion Seattle Storm. And that, to me, is going to be the test for where this team is going into the break. What do we need to work on? Are they able to hold up against the defending champions in consecutive games? That's going to be a good measuring stick for where this team is going into that break and what they really need to do to dominate the last third of the season. All right, I think that wraps everything up. Thank you for listening. I will see you next week. This has been the Sparks Plug Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Phil Sizemore, and have a great week, everybody.